For most of the show today, we have talked about the coronavirus and vaccines, but now we are going to shift gears, because now that former President Trump is out of the White House, facing backlash from this month's Capitol insurrection, looking at a second impeachment trial next month, we want to ask what is next for the GOP. The party faces a potential fissure between those who would return their focus to pre-Trump principles and those who would finish the remake of the Republican Party in Donald Trump's image. So the question is, who will prevail? And will that be different here in New England than it might be in other parts of the country? We want to know what you think. Where should the Republican Party land on these questions? How about the Commonwealth, New Hampshire? Will it land in the same place as other regions? And with popular, more centrist governors like Charlie Baker and Chris Sununu, is there a chance that it will do things differently or maybe break from the party in other parts of the country? We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, joining us today for this conversation is Jennifer Horn, who is the former chair of the New Hampshire GOP and a co-founder of the Lincoln Project, a group of former Republican operatives who waged a tough anti-Trump campaign during the 2020 election, and WBUR's Anthony Brooks, who has been following the evolution of the Republican Party under and now after Donald Trump. Hello to both of you. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, it's Tiziana. Great to be here.
Great to have you both. Jennifer, I'm going to start with... yeah, you two know each other, right?
We do.
A little bit. We've had some nice conversations in recent weeks. Yeah, good to hear yours. Yeah.
Excellent. So let's jump in. And Jennifer, I will start with you. You left the Republican Party formally in December. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, have asked me over the years, how can you stay? How can you continue to be a part of that party? And for me, it was always about the founding principles of the party, you know, and I always said, I'm not going to be bullied out of my party by Donald Trump and the likes of Donald Trump. But what happened that changed, and I always had this apparently naive hope that when Trump was behind us, that there would be a resurgence, at least in part, of principled, positive, uplifting leadership in the Republican Party. But what we saw happen instead is when Donald Trump lost, which gave the Republican Party the opportunity to kind of step into that moment and say, good, he lost. This is not who we are. We're going to put him behind us and try to, you know, try to rebuild and remake ourselves. Instead, what they did was they fully embraced everything that was the worst about Donald Trump and said, we are going to build our future on Trumpism. And we saw that come out in the manner in which Republican leaders across the country contributed to, advanced, fanned the flames of the lie about this election, and then participated in an effort to overturn the legitimate results of an election in the United States of America. I'm one who would look at people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and say that these people are seditionists and they need to be held accountable. But when I saw that the entire party was looking at Trumpism and saying, we don't want to put it behind us, we want to build our future on that, it became clear that there was simply no place anywhere in the future in the Republican Party for me.
So, Jennifer, I'm going to turn to Anthony here. Anthony, I want to both ask you how you describe the challenge facing the Republican Party now, especially here in our region, and also just to ask you to confirm, most polls do demonstrate what Jennifer said, which is that the majority of Republicans continue to support Donald Trump and want a party that is aligned with him, correct?
Yeah. Let me respond to that last part first. So I'll just cite the results of a couple of recent polls. An NPR PBS Marist poll, which was released last week, 70% of Republicans believe Biden was not legitimately elected. We know that that's not true, but 70% of Republicans believe that. And according to a Washington Post ABC poll, solid majorities in the party believe that Trump bears little or no responsibility for the attack on the Capitol. We've got tape. We've all seen it, where he is basically egging those people on, inciting them, telling them to march down to the Capitol and fight like hell. In terms of, you know, where the party stands right now and the challenge it faces, you know, I think Jennifer Horn expresses it really well. If the party is no longer a home to principled conservatives like Jennifer Horn, I think the party has a problem. And, you know, my question is, and a lot of people are asking this, can the party go on, continue to be a home for principled conservatives like Mitt Romney, like Charlie Baker, like the kind of conservative that Jennifer Horne is, and the sort of rabid Trumpist core supporters of the president? I mean, how do they coexist? And I think Jennifer's answer is they cannot. And so she left the party. And I think that, you know, represents a huge challenge for this party going forward.
So let me just throw the number out, because in a minute I'm going to start taking calls. 800-423-8255 to join this conversation. Before I go to our first caller, Jennifer and Anthony, I do want to ask you, and I don't know if you know what the answer is, do we have information about whether Republicans in the New England region, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, agree with the larger polling numbers Anthony just gave us? Are they as dedicated to Donald Trump as Republicans in other parts of the country? Do either of you know?
Well, I can take a sort of quick stab at that answer. The short answer is I don't know, because I haven't seen recent polling. But it is instructive to look at, for example, the Massachusetts Republican Party. The party leadership just reelected Jim Lyons as party chairman. Jim Lyons has been a pro-Trump Republican. The deputy party chairman, Tom Mountain, also very, very pro-Trump. They are wildly sort of out of step with some of the more moderate Republicans. And let me play some tape from one of those people. I think we have this standing by Tiziana. So this is Anthony Amore. He ran unsuccessfully for Massachusetts Secretary of State in 2018. He is in favor of the impeachment of Donald Trump for a second time. And he calls Trump's incitement of a riotous mob an affront to the Constitution and to a nation of laws. So here's what he told me.
We should work on rebuilding our party as a party of republicanism and conservatism, and away from the idea of this cult of personality with an allegiance to one person rather than the country or the rule of law.
But his party in Massachusetts essentially disagrees with that. Jim Lyons has been pro-Trump for his entire tenure. He's talked about, he supported Trump's claims at least early on that this election was stolen from him and that he should have the right to challenge it. And this went on for quite a while. So, again, we get back to that question. How do the Anthony Amores of the world find a place within that Republican Party?
Jennifer Horne, anything to add to that before I take a call?
Well, sure. You know, I haven't seen any polling that is New Hampshire specific or Massachusetts specific or anything like that either to this specific question. But what I would say that, you know, kind of to build on what Anthony just said, New Hampshire just did the same thing. They just reelected a state party chairman who was all in for Trump from day one of Trump's 2016 cycle. You know, somebody who has been very destructive, I would say, to the concept of truth and credibility and integrity when it comes to the party. And it is a question of separating out party leadership, party activists, you know, the people who kind of activate the party, as opposed to the thousands or tens of thousands of people who identify as Republican on election day. I haven't seen any current polling, but I know that I can tell you that in 2016, Donald Trump lost New Hampshire by a couple of thousand votes. He lost New Hampshire in 2020 by tens of thousands of votes. So there's clearly a movement away from him amongst a population of decent, clear-thinking human beings, even at the same time while the party itself is going deeper and deeper in for Trump. And that's where it becomes a problem for the party.
And Jennifer, I do want to say, you said decent, clear-thinking human beings. I do want to clarify, it sounds like you're saying that people who voted for him are not decent human beings.
No,
I want to give you a chance to clarify on that.
Yes, I will clarify that. Because here's something I've said all along with all of this, is that part of the problem that has to be solved is that we have to understand why so many otherwise good people are voting for Donald Trump. We have to understand what it is that those Americans are experiencing, what the struggle is, what the fear is. You know, what is it that kind of, what are the experiences that have created such a large base of support for him? But in this particular case, when we are talking about those people who are actively engaged in leading the party structure, chairman, national committee men, you know, state committee people, and congressmen and senators, these people who are feeding the lie that Donald Trump, that this election was stolen from Donald Trump, are engaged in a full frontal assault against democracy, against the Republic. And we saw on January 6th how perilously close, you know, to how fragile that democracy is. That cannot be excused or soft-pedaled in any way. That's what's happening within the Republican Party right now.
I want to go to the phones here. I will grab a couple of calls, 800-423-8255. We've got Anya on the line from Cambridge. Anya, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I am wondering whether you could comment on the thought of just having more than one Republican Party. Why can we not have a very right-wing and a more centrally oriented party that focuses on the traditional Republican values? I understand it would potentially trade in a lot of oomph and power when it comes to general elections, but then if the same is true for the Democratic Party, we would be forced innately to create coalitions and compromise and get out of this gridlock of having just two big parties who, it seems to me, do not really capture anymore, you know, the voters that they captured before.
Anya, thank you for that. I'm going to grab one more. Bob in Arlington. Bob, go ahead.
Hi. I'm tired of hearing how many Republicans don't believe Donald Trump and behind the scenes say such things. But instead of leading and teaching the mob that's following this, these lies, they cave in. So they're more worried about getting reelected. But that's not living up to their oath of office. Why don't they lead? Politicians know more than we do. Their place is to educate and let people know why they vote a certain way.
All right. Thank you for that, Bob. So, Jennifer, Anthony, I'm mindful of time. Here's what I'm going to do. Anthony, to Bob's question, we do hear a gap between, I mean, you're a senior political reporter. We hear Republican officials in private expressing sentiments we don't hear them expressing in public.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Tiziana, I was like so focused on your first caller, and I sort of was putting an answer together
for that.
Yeah, just really quickly, this idea of another party, I mean, that there's already talk of that. I mean, there are Republican leaders in states like Texas and Wisconsin who are talking about breaking away and sort of forming a pro-Trump faction. Donald Trump himself is talking about now, we understand from reporting, that he's talking about setting up something called the Patriot Party. Now, that might be aimed at putting pressure on Republicans in the coming election to sort of stay loyal to him. But this idea of the Republican Party actually fracturing is something that you can find a lot of historical precedents for. Historians that I spoke to for this reporting I did last week talk about the fact that political parties don't last forever. And probably the coalition that the Republican Party represented in 2015 between people like Jennifer Horne, principled conservatives, and other pro-Trump folks, it's just probably not going to last, you know, until 2025. Yeah. So I see that as a likely route.
You are listening to Radio Boston with Jennifer Horne, the former chair of the New Hampshire GOP and a co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and WBUR's Anthony Brooks. I'm Tiziana Deering. So, Jennifer Horne, two calls there, one about forming new parties, one about the difference between what we're hearing from elected Republican leaders privately and publicly. Your thoughts before we wrap here.
Well, you know, that second call in particular went right to why I left the party, and I'm now a registered independent, and it kind of reflects to the first woman's question as well. Are these both of our parties? We have so much focus on the Republican Party right now because of Trump, but the truth is the party system is broken, and what we need is some mechanism, some action, something that is going to force each of these parties to come back to the center and recognize that they're going to lose votes, they're going to lose power if they don't come together and work together and start to solve the problems of the day. And that's why I became an independent as opposed to joining the Democratic Party or staying with the Republican Party. It has become so much, you look at someone like Mitch McConnell, it has become so much about just holding power. It's not about serving the people. It's not about solving problems. To Anthony's point, I do think that the Republican Party is at risk of, at the beginning of the end for them, perhaps, throughout the history of our country. You know, political parties don't last forever. They change with the times. And the Republican Party right now is regressing. They are going back to principles and foundational ideas, trying to build a future on ideas that had long since been rejected by the American people. I don't see how they can possibly move forward with that. This may very well be the beginning of what becomes the end of the party.
Anthony Brooks, do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, and you'll find Republicans, and I found them in the story that I reported last week, who say the problem with the idea of the Republican Party splintering is that sort of means a decade or longer in the political wilderness, because you're just not going to have the votes. I talked to one former Republican chair of the Republican Party in Massachusetts, and she said, whether you like it or not, Trump got nearly 75 million votes. Their votes count, and we've got to figure out a way to get everyone into the big tent. Now, I know Jennifer Horne would disagree with that, but, this was a point of view that said we need the Jennifer Hornes back. We need to find a place for the Trump supporters in order to stay viable. But the question we keep coming back to, can that party be viable? And that's an open question.
Well, that is a question
I just have
to
jump in really quickly.
Very briefly,
whenever
Jennifer,
anybody talks about 74 million votes, I have to remind them, Joe Biden got 80 million. Like this, there's such a divide right now in our country, but it is on the side of decency that is advancing, that is, you know, holding the lead here.
All right. That is Jennifer Horne, former chair of the New Hampshire GOP and co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and WBUR's Anthony Brooks. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that, folks, is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening today. Do join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.